This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, Bart Scott. And you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. All in America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. We have a jam-packed show. I mean, this is a lot.
We thought Monday was typical, jam-packed.
You're right. Usually football Mondays are. It's such a typical sports talk radio guy thing to say. Well, we got a lot for you today, but I mean, we really have a lot to get to.
We just got an extra hour, and we're blessed for having that. We might need an extra 2 hours.
There's a lot of headlines happening, some of them just happening on the fly. And so we will get to everything. Those people who are like, why aren't you talking about this? We are going to get to it. Trust me. There's a lot to get to, and we want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Bar, we talked about this Monday. We talked about this when it became a story last week. And it felt like, and I'm always the believer as a reporter,
yeah,
where there's smoke, there's fire. There's just something instinctual about it when you've put in the amount of years, you know, that I have with a notebook in hand. You just get that sense that when you see something like we saw with that first email leaked John Gruden.
Slow drip.
And you just say to yourself, all right, well, there's definitely more there. And that's when you just start slowly picking at it and picking at it. And then, of course, the New York Times does reveal there were a lot more emails. And it has resulted in John Gruden being out as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. The Times report said that Gruden used misogynistic, anti-gay language in numerous emails. And so he used an anti-gay slur in reference to Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, criticized the commissioner for what he suggests is forcing a team to draft gay player, Michael Sam,
yep,
hiring female refs, and also trying to reduce concussions. I mean, he's checked every box.
He hit for the cycle. Oh,
but that's not it. But wait, there's more. He also said Eric Reed should be fired for his anthem demonstration. So if you feel like, did he miss anyone? Because you pretty much offended everybody, right? And so for those who don't understand, and that's what I've seen right now as the reaction, John Gruden is being canceled for something that happened years ago. All I'm saying, and then I'll step out of the way, as the former NFL player, all I'm going to say here is this. You can't possibly leave a man with this in his background in his adulthood. He didn't do this when he was like 19, 20. He's a grown-ass man when this stuff was going on. You cannot, in a league that is desperately trying to become way more inclusive, way more accepting, way more understanding, that has been trying to bridge a gap that we know has been a cavern for many years between the league and the players, you cannot leave a man like this in charge of a franchise. You can't do it. He steps away, and now, of course, the league has to and players have to deal with the fallout and the concerns, of course. Is John Gruden really the only one? So, Bart, now it's time for Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless, and I will give you the floor.
Well, he's the one that got caught, right? And you talk about a league that is trying to promote diversity. And for everybody that watched Monday Night Football, what a great game that was.
Oh, man. See, that's a shame, right?
And for us to have to be distracted by, you know the actions of one, right? And if you look at what the coaches had on yesterday, they had the rainbow hoodies on, right, which really is in support of diversity, inclusion, and saying that the NFL is for everyone, which includes African Americans, which includes whites, which includes all races, creeds, ethnicities, and groups. Well, John Gruden just offended everyone. So how can you have somebody like that in charge of a Fortune 500 company, mm-hmm, in the Raiders, who just moved to Las Vegas and is looking for a strong fan base? And you talk about, when you talk about the Raiders, you have to think about, you could say Al Davis was a lot of things. A forward thinker, you can't say he was not. I mean, you talk about a guy who hired the first woman general manager, Amy Trask.
Right.
You talk about making Art Shell the first African-American coach. You talk about this is an organization that represents everything that the NFL is trying to represent and to display. It's no way that he can continue his job. There's no way that he can stand in front of the first openly gay football player after saying those words and said, hey, it takes a strong man to be different. It's what his statement was about his player.
Which now sounds a lot different, doesn't it? That's the first thing I did was I looked back when Carl Nassib came out.
Yeah.
There was a statement from it wasn't a statement. It was John Gruden actually was interviewed. And him saying that at the time, you're like, all right, it takes a strong man. Right, okay. And then it's like, wait a minute. When you look back again, it sounds a little different now. That's the problem. And that's why I'm saying to everyone, this is the issue. This is why he had to go.
Because now, remember, he said that, okay, maybe it was culturally insensitive. I didn't know it was derogatory for me to talk about a black man and the history of black men. Like I told you yesterday,
he tried to say
it wasn't racist.
Yeah.
But now, how are you going to sit? You think you can coach me? If you think DeMaurice Smith has Michelin lips, what are you saying about me? Like, you can't say, listen, it's impossible for him to continue to lead men that are gay to be in a building and work around women with his thoughts about women. It's impossible for him to be there to coach 70% African-American roster.
Thank you. On a sideline. With 70% African-American players on his team, with a woman referee on that sideline, with a gay player on his roster, and the potential of, by the way, Derek Carr, did he not suffer a concussion, or at least it looked like he was out of it? and all those things.
Last game.
Let's go. Like, all those things. On top of it, what hoodies were they wearing last night on Monday Night Football?
That's what I was saying. The LGBTQ community.
Like, so let's throw that into the mix, too. You got all that stuff.
Did he have a hoodie on? Did he have one on?
Like, just think about it.
Could you imagine if he had one on, how hypocritical that is?
That's all I'm saying. So when you put it all together, you realize that there was there was nothing else you could do. This was not a, like, Bart, as a player, could you really, like, it was already bad enough on Friday. If you're a player now, after this, like, could you just, like, on Tuesday, just get right back to, I got a game to worry about. I can't worry about
as it. As he stands in front of you and talk about character and commitment and family and all those type of principles that you want to have with your football team, accountability.
Mm-hmm. Biggest word of all right there, the accountability part of it. And his statement, by the way, also him saying that I didn't mean to hurt anybody. What did you mean to do with those statements?
Those words hurt everybody.
Yes.
They were saying to get out? Yeah, they were saying in private.
Well, your thoughts are still hurtful.
You don't think that your beliefs come out in some of your actions?
Mm.
How ironic is the first time he got the position of power, what's the first thing he did? Fired a former executive of the year just 2 years before, Reggie McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Fired him. African-American. Maybe you look at African-Americans, you don't want to take instructions from an African-American. So you got him fired.
Strong personalities, you mean?
Right.
He has a hard time with strong personalities.
And especially African-American.
Well, how about this strong personality? Keyshawn Johnson, our good friend, who won a Super Bowl with John Gruden. Now, as Keith says it, it was really Tony Dungy's work.
No, but before you go there, I want Tony Dungy to come back because this is what I don't like. Whenever something happens in a black community, everybody runs to Tony Dungy, and everybody thinks because Tony Dungy thinks it's okay, it's okay. Newsflash, Tony Dungy does not represent all black people. Like, you can't just go to him because he wants to give John Gruden a soft landing, and now he should feel not foolish but ill-informed because he got it all wrong.
Well, here's Keyshawn Johnson on this morning show on KJM talking about how John Gruden, who, again, he played for in Tampa, has never evolved.
I'm talking about everybody in general in life. You learn from mistakes and things that you do. But this is over and above learning from a mistake. Mm-hmm. This is a repeated behavior or pattern, clearly.
So there's that. Then Keyshawn also said something that everybody thought was really strong words. But again, he would know. He said John Gruden is a phony.
I didn't know that John would say things like that and put them in an email. He just always been a fraud to me. He just always been a fraud to me. Never from day one, he's been a used car salesman. And people bought it because he inherited a championship team built by Tony Dungy and Rich McKay. And he came in there with a little bit of different energy than we had with Tony, and it kind of kicked us over the top to get our world championship, which I am grateful for. But at the same time, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship.
Now, anybody thinks that if that Key is just piling on now, you're not paying attention, because Key has been saying this for years about Gruden. In fact, going into this season, when I was spending a lot of time on the morning show, he brought it up a lot about Gruden. He was honest about him, and he just doesn't feel – he feels like he always got way too much credit as a coach, and he would mention how he feels like he was a phony. And now, one last one from Key, that Gruden finally showing his true colors when these emails are revealed.
Did I ever think John Gruden, you know, would put negative things in an email about somebody? Would I ever say that he would talk behind somebody's back? Absolutely. Absolutely he would. But did I ever think that he would use racial terms, homophobic terms? No, I did never, because that never crossed my mind. Being negative towards somebody, yes, 100% times over, because that's just who he is. That's who John Gruden is.
All right, and that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But Bart, let's bring it.
No contrition, man. No contrition yesterday.
Well, again, the statement was the part that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt anyone. It's
I'm talking about the one in front of the like he just dismissed it, like knowing what he had said.
Oh, the media, his media access were after the game yesterday on Sunday when he didn't want to talk about it anymore.
No, yesterday when he said I'm done talking about it.
Yeah,
because he had one. During the when talking about how he was going to talk to D'Amore Smith and all that stuff, but then the second one was yesterday when he was like he's done talking about it. You want to talk about football. You out of all people should understand how media works. You don't get to choose when you're done talking about something.
Does this now make you see? I look at it like this. Now, if I'm in the league and if I'm a coach or executive in the league, I'm like, man, like, because now I know. Any progress that we thought we might have made in trying to eradicate the league of that sense of, you know, run by, you know, powerful white men.
The good old boys.
Yeah,
club.
That whole thing. And that, you know, there's this underlying sense of, you know, racist undertones with a lot of things. Like, with that in mind, I'm feeling like you just said, we all this, whatever progress we had, but, one step forward, now this just gave us two steps back, and now we got to work even harder to get back, because this is now all anybody's talking about. And oh, by the way, we know what the email said. Was there any reply all? Was there any reply that said, hey, John?
Yeah, nobody.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of out of line, man. Yeah. Like, was there a reply? Because I would like that also exposed, too. Did someone reply and say, hey, John? That's out of line, man.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing.
No one called him out?
Exactly.
I'll tell you.
He felt way too comfortable sending those to them, so you know it's some replies back there. It's either some laugh emojis, it's something that enabled him and made him feel comfortable sending it. And if it's not just one, that means there was some going back too. When are those going to come out?
And I'll say this, that's a problem that we have. We have that problem, not enough calling out when no one else is around to see it. And saying, that ain't right, man.
You got to call your friends or your buddies to the carpet.
All right, let's go to the Goodyear hotline and bring in our good friend Jeff Saturday, who joins us right now. Jeff, we would rather, although I'm sure you wouldn't, talk about the Colts-Ravens game last night. We would rather talk about that game because it was an epic finish, and hopefully we will get to that in a second. But I just want to bring you in on the Gruden conversation. I know all morning you've been talking about it. It felt inevitable. Like anyone that's questioning, well, why did he have? Why is he out as coach? There's no way he could stand in front of a team after all this has come out. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, even what happened on Friday, I think that's probably why the NFL ended up releasing, or not the NFL, but whoever released the more stuff, was to get the thing finally, you know, kind of completed. I think people had expectations that he would have already been. But the timing of when it all came out on a Friday, and you know, who knows what the true intent of Mark Davis was. But you're right. I mean, you know, how do you go up and stand up in front of him again? And then knowing, I'm sure from Gruden's perspective, knowing what potentially could be coming down at him once this passes. So, but I'll be honest, man. I mean, I said this morning, and everybody kind of laughed at me. Maybe I'm super naive I was shocked. I mean, I don't know John Gruden. Other than hello and, you know, pleasantry type stuff, but, you know, maybe an interview or something, but nothing, nothing that I, of any substance where I've ever spent any time with him. But I just didn't have expectations at all, man, that was real, you know, what was going on, and disappointed, man. Just, but again, when you're around people, you know, when you're around our game, you hear different things about guys from time to time, right? Bad guy, this and that. Mm-hmm. I had never heard that. And so I was very surprised by you know, everything that has come out. And again, obviously extremely disappointed, and you know, it's awful, and you know, all the different adjectives that everybody else has used. But I was shocked, and man, for our game and the men who have to go in the locker room, that's tough to do, man, to have to go and be in a locker room with a guy that, you know, has just said these things, without being to kind of air out what your side of it is. So it had to happen, and that's what ultimately did happen.
Well, you just can imagine maybe that's why they struggled. I know a lot of players say they weren't distracted by his comments, but as an African-American, you have to say, man, you start, you know, questioning some of your interactions with him. Like, hey, like, how does he see me? And people don't understand, man. And I think this is a good thing that it came out, because sometimes we forget, you know, we want to, you know, pat ourselves on the back for the progress that we had, but we still have the discrepancies in the hiring of African-Americans at positions of power. Before, it used to be the quarterback position, but I think it can't be denied, right? Because the athletes and the productivity is just so overwhelming. But you look at, you know, the executives, and one of the first things that he did was to fire, you know, a two-time executive of the year, Reggie McKenzie, as soon as he got there, right? So now you go back and you start analyzing all of his actions, and you say, well, maybe this is where I missed it at. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, just how exhausting it is sometimes to just be an African-American player, because all you want – Or coach, because you want to have inclusion. You just want to be able to have a fair chance like everybody else. And, you know, it's always small, subtle reminders of that you're not seen in the same light of maybe someone that doesn't have your skin color. I mean, because right now, and I'm not, you know, I'm just pointing it out before it even gets, you know, becomes a bar, sidebar conversation. You know, the fact that Kellen Moore, who earns all the right that he has because he's doing an outstanding job, you know, and what he's doing in Dallas. But then how quickly you forget about Eric Bieniemy, Brian Rolefowicz, how we don't hear players, you know, or coaches that are doing the same job get the same type of publicity to get opportunities at jobs. And not only did Byron Leftwich, was he a better player than Kellen Moore, but his offense is equally doing just as an amazing job. And Eric Bieniemy has been probably one of the best coaches, offensive coaches, but he doesn't get the credit. So those are just small underlining things that African-Americans deal with and talk about amongst ourselves within locker rooms.
Yeah, Jeff, now I know you got to run and you're in between sports centers, so I don't want to let you go without, though, asking you about last night's game. And I'll ask you from the Colts' perspective. They're 1-4. But, you know, for most of that game, they looked really good. Can they still, considering that division, can they still win that division? I mean, is it too late?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's the only saving grace from last night, is that, you know, you realize you're a 1-4 football team, but ultimately the best team in your division is 3-2 and wavering, really. I mean, not much different than you. And you know, you'll have to beat the Titans when they come to your place because they beat you on the road. But, when you're thinking from the Colts' perspective, that was Carson Wentz's best game by far. You know, he played well. He stepped up in the pocket. He took shots. He delivered the ball on time. Their line that's still decimated by injuries did a good job blocking the front. The receivers made plays. Ultimately, though, you know, you have to find ways to close games out. They did not do that. But I think they're about to hit a fairly easy portion of their schedule. And I really believe this is one of those teams. They could rattle off three or four of the next games. And next thing you know, you're a 500 or, you know, one game above or below it. And you got a real opportunity because, again, you're going to face the Titans, but you should beat the Jags, right? I mean, right. So when you think about the teams you're going to have to face, the Texans and the Jags, four games, man, if you just take care of your business, you win four games. I mean, you know, that's a nice place to sit when you've struggled as much as you have early in the season.
Yeah, they got the Texans this Sunday at Niners, Titans, and Jets and Jags back-to-back. And it pains me to say it, but they should easily win both of those games. Jeff, we'll leave it right there. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a great one.
All right, Jeff Saturday on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up, one of the brilliant performances that we really do want to dive into last night. I mean, just an absolute stud of a performance for a guy that some people thought coming into the league, He should be a wide receiver. Oh, hell no. We will talk about how spectacular that performance was last night after Bart tells you about ZipRecruiter.
According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet pent-up demand for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com, B-A-R-T. Back after this with your calls.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, we have hockey tonight.
Let's do that hockey.
ESPN.
Are the Lightning going to thank Stevie Y for what he's done to set up their dynasty?
No dynasty. They only won two. They're not going to get a third. Third's the dynasty. Penguins, Lightning tonight. Yes, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. And then the new franchise.
The Kraken.
The Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Against Vegas, the Golden Knights in Vegas. So you have that tonight on ESPN. It's exciting. Gary Bettman was here at the Seaport doing, doing the morning show.
Did y'all share a bagel? Did y'all share a bagel? I saw they had bagels for when the big bosses come. They got bagels.
But the green room had bagels?
Yeah,
bagels. Very special.
Oh,
yeah, you actually got food in the green
cheese.
Room?
And cream cheese. That'll get you fired.
And cream cheese.
That'll get you fired. That'll get you
so
fired
not just
in
like a couple. Not just a couple like granola bars and some water. Like they actually had food. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a commission of a league in here. That's a pretty big deal. It was good to see Gary. Go back a long time with him. And those who don't like him, you don't know him. He's a good dude, man. Deep down, a good dude. And he's been around that sport, obviously, for, 30 years. And it's great to have him back on ESPN. So looking forward to that. Also, huge news you heard in SportsCenter. Huge news in the NBA with the Nets and Kyrie Irving. And as I told you at the top of the show, there's a lot of headlines today. We will get to that story. There's a lot to talk about on that story, so we certainly will get to that. But, Bart, we've got to discuss what we saw last night on Monday Night Football. But before I do that, the weather looking nasty? Don't change your plans. Change your wiper blades. Michelin wiper blades use advanced technology to hug your windshield to channel away water, snow, and ice so you can see clearly and drive confidently. Upgrade to Michelin wiper blades. Available on Amazon Prime, Bart Scott. Lamar Jackson last night in leading your Ravens to a comeback win over the Colts on Monday Night Football. Ending, perfect ending, by the way, to what it was, a wild Week 5. More kicker controversy. It had to be. More overtime, more late-game heroics, all that stuff. Man, kicker controversy all over the damn place.
I thought he was having a breakdown or something, man. Blankership.
When he was just sitting on his
side. Sitting down on his butt. I thought he was having a mental episode.
I thought something was mentally wrong.
I'm like, who does that? Like, who sits on their butt and just...
He does.
I didn't know what...
They said he was dealing with something physically, though.
His hip. It turned out
it is a hip. Okay, I didn't see that last report.
Well, that had nothing to do with Calais Campbell and his heroics blocking his eighth kick of all time. You talk about guys that,
See, what is he, 6'8"?
6'8".
Yeah.
6'8".
Would help.
And then, but he's in a swim. He hit him with the swim move.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know if you go against Calais Campbell, you can't just fire out. You got to stay balanced because he fired out. He got in the gap. And he got in, got up, and it was a big play, man. I tell you what, but those Ravens, man, they came out super lethargic. I thought there was no way that they were going to be able to get it done because they couldn't stop Carson Wentz.
You're losing by 19. You're losing by 19. And for the Colts, what did we say? How important? We just talked to Jeff Saturday. Yeah. How important that game was for them.
They were anemic. They said that, on the telecast that they have been preparing for that game since July. Like, since July, how to stop Lamar Jackson running. And he showed something that people didn't think he was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
He won that game from the pocket.
Yes.
You talk about the pass to Hollywood Brown, the pass to Andrews for the two-point conversion. Those were in the pocket. The old Lamar Jackson would say, let me be an athlete, because he wasn't there. He waited for Hollywood Brown to uncover. He waited once he saw Andrews, like, he's going to beat this linebacker, got underneath. We talk a lot about Kyler Murray. Talk a lot about Justin Herbert. Have y'all forgot not only what Lamar Jackson has done in his career, but what he's currently doing without his top left tackle, without three of his running backs.
Right.
Sammy Watkins was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Without Rashad Bateman, and with a defense that is missing Marcus Peters. And as you talk about, listen, when you look at it, Anthony Everett led the team in tackles. You want to know why? Because he was the fish. He was the damn fish. He was getting roasted. It was Burger King. You want to catch, you get a catch. You want a touchdown, you get a touchdown.
Have it your way.
I felt sorry for the kid. I was like, throw in the towel. I know Jimmy Smith can't run no more. Make him the corner. Please get this kid out of there. And you have to start putting respect on Lamar Jackson for what he's been able to do this year. He has 1,820 yards. That is more than like five organizations or five offenses. I think it was like something like 10. 10 offenses. He has more productivity by his damn self. Come on, son.
The accolades from last night are just incredible. All right, so it's the first time. It's the largest deficit that he's ever had to overcome as a starting quarterback. Okay, so you have that, the 19 points. He set the NFL record for completion percentage, 86%, for both a 400-yard passing game and a 40-attempt passing game. As you mentioned, a lot of what he did in the pocket, which is something when he was drafted. I'll never forget that draft year because I put a lot of time into those quarterbacks that year.
Yeah.
And it just, I would watch him at Louisville and I'd say, no, this guy's got something. Like, he's got different arm angles.
Won a Heisman, man.
But it just wasn't just the running. It wasn't just, you know, the option quarterback. This guy had something, and he spent a lot of time in his last year there trying to prove himself as a guy who could throw it in the pocket. But that, never mind.
Can you just pause on that list?
Here we go. First quarterback in NFL history to complete 85% of his passes in a 400-yard game. Mention that. First player in NFL history, a 400-yard passing, four passing touchdowns, zero interceptions, and 50 rushing yards in the game. Highest completion percentage in a 40-yard passing game in NFL history. There have been 4,017 instances of a player attempting 40 passes in NFL history. So when you say, you know, is that a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a lot of opportunities to do it. Franchise record 442 passing yards. More passing yards in the second half and overtime than he had in any regular season game of his NFL career. 335 in the second half and overtime. Incredible. Led the Ravens in rushing with 62 yards. 21st time he's at least had a share of the team's rushing lead since becoming the starter. Accounted for 499 of the Ravens' 523 yards of offense. I mean, it's incredible. They had
Can't
3 points
at the
half.
That's okay. That's the one blunder. Fumbling the ball on the one.
Well, that what a play that was, by the way. The knee was just, it was almost down, but still, just amazing. You know, and it really was a really compelling game. The Colts, though, losing in Baltimore, number one. But number two, they were 120-0 since they moved to Indianapolis in 1984 when they led by 16 or more points in the fourth quarter.
Well, most of that is Peyton Manning.
120-0. And so the last time they lost after leading by 16 in the fourth quarter, they were in Baltimore, so they come full circle and do it again in Baltimore, but this time as the visitor.
They were gassed. And listen, the worst thing that ever happened was the fact that they lost the coin toss. Because, man, the Ravens just that up-tempo. They just couldn't think. Once they get the first down, like, you don't have five great pass rushes in you. So those guys, it was inevitable
just
that it was going to happen. And,
what a performance.
You know, can we please start putting him in the MVP conversation?
He is an MVP. He's a former MVP.
But we haven't mentioned him in the same light as Josh Allen. Before last night, nobody saw him that way.
Oh, I brought him up.
No, they were talking about Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford.
And Justin Herbert.
And Justin Herbert.
Josh Allen.
And Josh Allen and Tom Brady.
Yep.
Now you have to add him to the list because he's doing it without anybody.
You have to. And John Harbaugh talked about this performance last night. He considers it one of the greatest performances he's ever seen.
It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen, you know, and it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't like we came out just, you know, up and down the field. We had to overcome and fight through some things. He was under pressure. He created plays with his feet, threw the ball away when he had to throw it away. Then once we started going, when we were in that situation you're talking about, Jameson, we went into our fast mode, no huddle, 2-minute type mode. He just came alive, and all of our guys did. I mean, all the guys who made plays, you know, and the offensive line. But it starts with Lamar. and he deserves the credit.
Now, Bart, we just, in just 30 seconds here, just if you could, Lamar Jackson is a perfect example of a franchise that drafts a player and develops not just him, but a system that fits him. And he and Harbaugh, you could just see the relationship they have and how they have prioritized him.
Yeah.
Not he fits the system. No. What has he got? And well, he's gotten better. So they have certainly put a lot of work into him, and he's put a lot of work into it as well.
A lot of credit has to go to Greg Roman.
Yes.
Who did it with Colin Kaepernick, who this isn't his first stint with the Baltimore Ravens. He was there, he was a run game coordinator when Jamal Lewis ran for over 2,000 yards. So, like, he's been here, but you talk about now he's evolving. The package is evolving. That's what happens when you have consistency. That's why you talk about here in New York, you know, why, you know, the package just doesn't grow, why there's not a level of comfort. Listen, they've been together, and this package has evolved because all these passes that they have within the box have changed because now they're saying, okay, Lamar, you have to evolve. We're going to give you more receivers.
The stages, what are they going to take away? Now we have to add to the playbook, and that's where they've gotten. And the trust factor can't be overstated either.
And Lamar Jackson is the only one of these quarterbacks that we're mentioning in the MVP candidacy that doesn't have a top 20 receiver. Yeah. Let that sink in.
That is a great point. Although he's got a pretty good tight end that he certainly loves to throw
but he doesn't have a top 20 receiver.
That is
absolutely
fair.
Would not make your top
30 list. He is also a guy that you say if you take him off this team, they are not a playoff team. I mean, not even close to being a playoff team. All right. Barton on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. So coming up, your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also, we have to talk about the Red Sox, who did something that not many people thought they could, and they are at a place that no one expected them to be. Yes, and we actually had some real baseball last night, too. We'll get to all that, but first, Bart has this from Straight Talk.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best network. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speeds may vary. Back after this.
Bart and Han.
Back, Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bart Scott, there's so many headlines today, but one that certainly right before we got on the air, that is a big story in the NBA. Well, there's two of them. One last night was Ben Simmons returning to the Sixers to the surprise of Doc Rivers, who found out because Woj reported it.
He just walked in?
He just showed up they played last night against the Nets in Philly, and the Sixers found out that Ben Simmons showed up. So that story aside, like all of a sudden he's there.
The money play.
You know what that's about. But then there's the other story that this morning came out, and this is a, like I said, this is a huge story. And that is that the Nets have decided, and a statement from Sean Marks, Malika Andrews had tweeted this, that Kyrie Irving will not practice or play with the team until he become a full participant. Now, let's explain the whole thing here. He was originally, there was a change in the rule that allowed the Nets to have their practice facility considered a private business. Therefore, he was allowed then to practice with the team. And yet he still is not available to practice, to play in Brooklyn or when they played the Knicks at the Garden. That's 43 games out of the 82. So the thought was, well, he'll practice and then he'll play only road games. And Sean Marks is saying that is not going to happen. And as you see the statement right now on Plus, you know, given the evolving nature of the situation and through deliberation, Kyrie Irving will not practice with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. He will not play or practice. And they said he has made a personal choice. We respect his individual right to choose. Mm-hmm. And then currently the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability.
Right. You're setting a precedent. You're setting a precedent if you do that. You can't make a precedent for him. And listen, he's been a distraction. You've let the inmates run the asylum is sometimes a term that is used. You can't allow him to dictate the terms of his contract when he signed the contract. If he wants to make a personal decision, you respect that. But you can't do that because what's going to stop James Harden if he has a personal issue and he wants to have the same type of thing? Or if Kevin Durant does that, you're opening up Pandora's box. And this is them putting their foot down. Like, listen, man, enough, Kyrie. We're here to play basketball. And I understand and we respect if you don't want to play basketball underneath the rules of the city in which you play in. But listen, we brought you here. We're paying you this money because we want to win a championship. And that window is closing. And you're really, you know, putting in danger our ability to sign James Harden, because who wants to put up with this foolishness? Kevin Durant, we have locked down and locked in, but we can't even move you because of what you've become.
And that is also part of it, too, is that can they trade him? Would they be willing to trade him? And, of course, there's been reports of him threatening that if he is traded, that he will retire.
Well, you got,
and
you,
so this this is the next move, of course. Now, again, if he gets vaccinated, because that is the rule in New York City, it's required that players that are home players have to have at least one dose of the vaccine in order to be cleared to play. And so he has clearly not done that yet. He has put some cryptic posts up on social media, but has not really talked about it. He's only called it a personal situation, but it's become a very public one because of the impact it has on his team. So the team has decided this is where we're going from here, and we'll see where it goes. But he will not be available to the Nets. Now, they're still good enough with Harden and Durant and that very deep team to make a lot of noise and do some damage.
But tell me this. Can they put him on some type of exemption list where they can go sign somebody else because they're saving money on his salary?
The league will not permit that. So a story that has continued to evolve, and we will certainly keep an eye on it. More coming up with you after this. Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, talk about doing it, or I should say, talk about getting it done. Not only did Lamar Jackson get it done, on the baseball side of things, Bart, the Red Sox got it done.
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear you. Yeah, I have my IBM. What did you say?
Yeah, Boston.
Listen, I'm not a Boston
fan. No one saw it. No, come on, let's be honest.
You said the Rays wanted it. Dave's like, I'll take any one of you two bums. And not only did it didn't go five. It just, they took care of business. They got hot. That Cora, man. Like, I know,
you
like.
Walk off for the second consecutive game at Fenway. You're starting to feel a little Fenway magic going on right here. So they go right into the ALCS. Now they'll play the Astros, White Sox winner. And boy, I'll tell you, if they play the Astros, it's going to be really hard to lie. I mean, there's two teams that were involved in the 2017-2018 the cheating scandal. Franchises
They deserve each other.
Man.
They deserve each other. Like, hold up, you going to use that on me? Hold up, I know what you're doing.
Imagine.
Like, right. Cora going to go over to the dugout, and he going to kick the little dude hiding under there with the camera. I see you. I know where you hide at, man.
It's like the Spider-Man meme where they point at each other. Like, yeah. that's what this ALCS would be if the Astros do move on. And on that series, by the way, the White Sox are certainly throwing it at the Astros. More on that later. But, I mean, you know, it's a surprise. It's kind of exciting. They win on a walk-off where, you know, as I said last night, it was essentially a single bunt, infield single, sack fly. How you doing? I mean, it's baseball. I mean, that's baseball, right? It's not this home run or nothing garbage that the team in the Bronx is
all about. It's okay, man.
Yeah, I can't help it. Like, that's the kind of baseball. Like, now.
You got Mooney coming back. It's okay. Run it back. Run it back.
Notwithstanding, like, of course, the Red Sox did hit some home runs, and they were up big, and then the Rays came back. I get it, but it was kind of – even I had to appreciate that walk-off. I had to appreciate just by the way it was. It was exciting. Now – It really is amazing when you think about, you know, how far they've come and really what they have become. Kiki Hernandez saying that, I mean, we're surprising everybody but ourselves. Like, they expected to be this
and
good.
And JD Martinez isn't playing yet. Is he done for the year? Is he coming back?
Why do you ask me questions like this?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, how am I supposed to know if he's coming back? Like, you know, I'm not covering the game. I watched, like, was five things going on last night. You're asking me, is he coming back?
You know, I was watching the Ravens.
Mr. Red Sox? You know, I didn't want to watch that damn game last night. But Alex Cora, who is back managing the team after, of course, being spanked a little bit for the cheating scandal or his involvement in it, happy to be advancing to the ALCS.
Just proud of the group, proud of everybody here, happy for my family, you know, that they can enjoy this, happy for Boston. You know, it was an amazing day. That was loud. That was actually better than yesterday. And, you know, it's something that we envisioned before the season, we envisioned in the offseason, and the fact that we are, you know, one series away from going to the World Series, it means a lot to this organization.
It does for them, for sure. And that's getting it done, brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier, welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. Meanwhile, like if you think about Tampa, this was supposed to be their year, right? Like this was supposed to be the year. I mean, they dominated the division.
Kevin Cash was really gracious in defeat.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, you know, you had the base open. Why not? I mean, did you really want to pitch to Hernandez like that? Like, there's some question marks about that as well. They feel like they ran out of arms, which is hilarious because it feels like it's just, you know, nameless, faceless arms coming out of that bullpen constantly all year round.
But you had Glasnow.
But they had some, yeah, they had a lot of injuries that they feel like, you know, took them out. But, you know, again, this certainly makes the Yankees loss more frustrating if you're a Yankees fan, but also for baseball in general. Now you're watching this Astros White Sox series, and you're thinking to yourself,
"Scandal all over.
Do
all
you
be all
really want Astros Red Sox as your ALCS? I guess you do.
At least we got bad guys,
because,
right? We got bad
yes,
guys.
That's a great point.
You need a
Mark.
Villain.
We'll be talking about it, right? We will. We'll end up talking about it more because you're right. It's two bad guys, two teams that were punished, and how quickly they were able to recover from the punishment. And maybe find themselves in the ALCS, but of course the Astros have to finish the job.
Again, it's just a slap on
the
wrist.
Chicago.
We'll be right back.
Coming up, the Nets have decided Kyrie will not play. A lot to talk about next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.